In the past few weeks, we've heard shocking stories of the kinds of restraints and drugs used on elderly residents of nursing homes. And with the Royal Commission into aged care now underway, no doubt there'll be more to come. But part of the Royal Commission's remit is to grapple with the needs of thousands of younger Australians, those aged under 65, who are currently living in aged care. Bronwyn Morecambe is the National Director of the Young People in Nursing Homes National Alliance, and Carolyn Finnis is the Chief of Staff at the Summer Foundation. Both organisations have been campaigning tirelessly for younger people who found themselves in aged care, and they're hoping for big changes. Welcome to you both.
Hello, Hilary.
Hi, Hilary.
First up, let's hear a frontline story from Deb Huseman, who found herself in a nursing home when she was in her 50s.
It was quite a shock moving into aged care for me. Most of the people there were very frail. Some had dementia. And so it wasn't really possible to form social relationships with very many of the residents there. So it was quite an isolating experience. In terms of activities, there were things to do, but they were, again, all based around the needs of frail elderly people. So once a week they would do armchair aerobics. 2 days a week they would do bingo. And for many of the residents, that was their favourite activity. But I'd never been to bingo in my life before, so that really didn't appeal to me.
So that's a stark example of what it might be like to live in a place where you feel you don't belong. And we'll hear more of Deb Huseman's story soon. But Bronwyn Morecambe, do we know how many Australians under the age of 65 now live in aged care facilities?
We know, Hilary, that there's around 6,500. It varies a little bit here and there, but around 6,500 is the number we have across the board nationally.
And what are the main reasons that younger people are finding themselves in nursing homes?
Younger people enter nursing homes because they don't have other options available to them at the time they need them. So we find younger people who aren't able to return home. They may have had an injury, an acquired brain injury, or suffered an exacerbation of a degenerative disease like multiple sclerosis. Often they leave from hospital, where the hospital needs to discharge because they're no longer sick, but we just don't have a timely response in place to enable them to go somewhere else other than a nursing home. So accommodation is one part of it. The other part of it is the services they need. Most of these young people have very complex health needs. We don't have the health services available in the community to support them safely and give them the confidence they need to be able to live there.
So it's about family support, community support, and basic infrastructure in some cases.
Absolutely, across the board, and being able to knit some of that infrastructure together from different service systems. So it's not only disability, it could be health, it could be housing, it could be justice. We need to actually provide a joined up response to support these people to live in the community.
And what kinds of illnesses or disabilities are the most common in that situation?
From our understanding, acquired brain injuries are probably the biggest group. After that, people with degenerative diseases like multiple sclerosis, Huntington's disease, young onset dementias are another group. And there's a smaller but growing group of young people coming through who have Down syndrome and intellectual disability, who are ageing earlier than the population, finding they can't remain in the group homes they were in and moving in their 50s into nursing homes as well.
So one of the main pathways for people into aged care is also hospitalisation. What's missing in those support structures that means they can so easily slide into that aged care setting?
Largely it's a matter of time and being able to get the service responses you need in place when the hospital needs to discharge. Hospitals are for sick people, and if they've got someone whose health is stabilised, they can't hang on to them for that reason. We've got the NDIS in the space now, but the NDIS is still being implemented and its processes are not yet fine in this respect. So we've got time lags. We've also got a lack of opportunity in some areas. As I said, accommodation is one. Some people could go home if they had home modifications done, but that could take months to do. What do we do in the meantime? For some people, the failure of informal support where they've been living at home with families, that's collapsed. can't go home, where do they go? So we need a range of options on the spectrum for these young people. Some of them have such profound health needs that living back in the community on their own isn't viable. And we also need to consider how do we develop the services and the models of care that they need to live safely in the community as well.
And just quickly, Bronwyn, for that meantime example where you might just need some time to make those changes to your house, are you against the idea of people being in aged care even though they're under the age group that aged care is meant for?
I think aged care has an opportunity to offer a hotel service, if you like, for these young people. So a roof over the head, the care they need as an interim option, yes, it certainly can, but they've got to go in with the funding, the resources and the supports these young people need to maintain function and be able to leave the nursing home and move back to the community with the capacities that they require. That means aged care's got to tweak itself a little bit. It's got to have much higher staffing levels, for example. It's got to have better trained staff who know how to deal with someone with an acquired brain injury, for example, to do that. But certainly aged care can provide a viable interim option for this group.
As long as there's a clear pathway for exit and transition.
Absolutely.
So Deb Huseman was working as a teacher in Melbourne, and that hospitalisation pathway into aged care was what happened in her situation. She got a severe leg infection and was unexpectedly hospitalised in 2015. After numerous operations and a long period of rehab, Deb still couldn't return to the house she shared with her sister in Melbourne because it couldn't be easily modified for her wheelchair and other needs. So Deb says the nursing home she was in was one of the better ones, but it was still a long way from the life she was used to.
The food was all geared towards older people, so it was very bland. For somebody who, like myself, had enjoyed cooking, had enjoyed eating out, going to, you know, Vietnamese restaurants, we lived in Footscray, African restaurants, the food there was very different. The other thing was the routine of it. The meals were served at very, very regular times. You'd have breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning, lunch at 12, dinner between 4:30 and 5, which I wasn't used to at all. The staff would want to put you to bed at 8 o'clock. Again, that was not something that I had been used to in the past. And just being there all the time in your room, it was quite boring. I was very, very lucky, and my family and friends were incredibly supportive. But even so, when they come in to see you, it's not like being in your own home, putting on the kettle, having a cuppa. It's completely different to that. There were times when I felt like I was in prison and I hadn't committed a crime to send me there.
Carolyn Finnis, the Summer Foundation works at getting younger people like Deb out of aged care, and she was in her 50s. Is what Deb experienced common in your experience?
It is very typical. Certainly that social contact, someone like Deb, and I've met Deb and I know Deb has a very connected family, and she was very lucky that they maintained those social connections for her. But it is very typical for a young person in nursing home for those social roles and social connections to fall away. It's just not an environment that's conducive to maintaining, you know, the role of being a mother or being a partner.
And just the community connection that Deb talked about, going out and being part of the community, eating out, going for a walk, for example, very difficult.
Absolutely. And she'd been working in a full-time professional role before her admission to aged care. So lots of changes in her experience.
Now, that must have been a shock for Deb just to go seamlessly from hospitalisation to aged care. Do you think it would shock people to know that aged care can be an outcome in cases like this?
Absolutely. Certainly the people we speak to don't, it's a circumstance that's come upon them often suddenly. As Bronwyn mentioned, acquired brain injury is often the catalyst for someone embarking on this journey into aged care. And so they come into this experience completely unprepared for that journey that's ahead of them. And not only them, but themselves, their family, all of those around them are not prepared for that journey either.
Is there a stigma around acquired brain injury, do you think, that's made it easier perhaps for the community to ignore people stuck in aged care with that condition?
I don't think it's so much a stigma. I think it's just the support and the services for people to maintain or pick up and resume their lives in a community setting just isn't there to support that.
So Rhonda was saying, you know, there could be the potential for that hotel system in aged care to provide that transitional accommodation for younger people. What's your feeling? Is there a circumstance where it might be justified for a young person to be in aged care for a period of time?
One of the things we're really keen to look at is transitional and temporary housing, because as Bronwyn identifies, that's a real gap, and there is a lag in timing between the funding of services and also the delivery of services. So many people do need kind of a stopgap solution, and that can be as varied, and it should be varied, because people's needs are very different. So, I mean, one of the dangers with aged care at the moment is once someone goes in, because it's not adequately set up to cater for young people's needs, it is very hard for young people to come out. So people lose capability, lose confidence, lose those social connections. So as Bronwyn identified, maintaining those in whatever setting you're in is vitally important.
And we'll talk a little in a moment too about the more practical physical outcomes of people's health that they might experience. But Carolyn, how do the young people in this situation feel about their situation?
It's not a happy place to be, you know. It's isolating. You can lose confidence very quickly. It's hard to find hope when you can't see an alternative or a solution. It's just a very confronting and challenging situation for young people and their families.
Are there any young people who would rather stay in aged care? It's perhaps comforting or familiar, or there are other reasons why they might choose to stay there?
Look, there's always going to be reasons, and it always comes down to choice for people. You can imagine scenarios in a regional setting where being able to stay connected to networks and family might be the only option. And there are some people, unfortunately, at the moment, who have high nursing care needs that's really not well catered for in the community. And certainly when we move from state-based disability to the NDIS, there are some real gaps around people receiving the nursing care that they need to maintain them living in the community. So they're all things that really need to be addressed to have a whole solution to this problem.
It sounds like there's things missing that might make those choices different if those things were available to those people. You're running workshops for people who are living in aged care now or haven't done in the past to help them make submissions to the Royal Commission. How important is it that those voices of people actually in that situation are heard?
Oh, it's so important. We just really are passionate about getting people's lived experience in front of the Royal Commission. And it's for someone who's isolated and disconnected in an aged care facility, or for someone who has a really significant disability, there are so many barriers to getting your story to the Royal Commission. And that's the point of these workshops. It's really about overcoming those barriers so people can have an opportunity to share what's most important to them about their experience with the Commission. And the Commission need to hear these stories, because the recommendations and solutions really need to be grounded in what people's lived experience is.
And Carolyn, how high is the awareness among residents that the Commission is happening and they could be a part of it?
Well, that's our big challenge at the moment, raising that awareness. And it is very hard to connect with people in aged care. So certainly we're being very proactive about our engagement for these workshops. And I have to share, we had an email just last week, and it came to our generic email address, and it was obviously a result of someone seeing one of our flyers, and it just simply said, "I would like to come, Bernie." And I've got no idea what state Bernie's in. We'll find Bernie, and we'll find a way to make it happen. But to me, that was a success, because that's us connecting with someone who's feeling disconnected.
It's interesting, because the Commission's terms of reference say it will look into, quote, how best to deliver aged care services to people with disabilities residing in aged care facilities, including younger people. But it's not asking whether these people should be in aged care. So is it only looking at half the picture? Do we need to look further in a different forum?
Certainly the terms of reference also make reference to the systems that lead to people transitioning into aged care. And for us, that's really vital, because it's how those systems support people at that critical point before they're entering aged care that's really, really vital to solving the problem.
We're talking with Carolyn Finnis from the Summer Foundation, and also Bronwyn Morecambe from the Young People in Nursing Homes National Alliance. And if you've got personal experience of this issue, do send us a text, 0418 226 576. Let's hear a little bit more from Deb Huseman about what she experienced while living in aged care, particularly when it came to her rehabilitation.
the staff, because they're dealing with frail, very elderly people, they're very risk averse. You know, they're constantly trying to do things for you and to look after you, which in a sense tends to take away some of your independence. When I was in the rehab ward, the nurses would push you to do more all the time, and, you know, they'd take you in the shower and get you to shower yourself, and then they'd come in and help you if you needed it when you rang the bell. In the nursing home, they would insist on doing everything for you. At one stage I said, oh, I can shampoo my own hair, and they said, no, we'll do that for you. So while that's very kind and caring of them, it's actually quite difficult when you're trying to be more and more independent.
Now, Bronwyn, Deb talks about that disconnect between her needs and what aged care staff are trained to do, especially with regards to rehab. Is that a common story?
Nursing homes aren't about rehab at all, Hilary. So I think this is a really good indication of how we've got younger people going into a system that was never meant to accommodate them. It's not resourced to do so. It doesn't have the focus that these young people are looking for. So I think that's rehabilitation is something that we don't have enough of in this country, period. But nursing homes are not there to deliver rehabilitation. They're not. They're there for a very different cohort. One of the things I think the Aged Care Royal Commission will look into is how do we need to reconfigure the aged care system to better address some of the things older people may want. Some of the things we've talked about today for younger people I think are also applicable for older people too. So that's one of the things I'm hoping the Royal Commission will look at a broad level. And as you said, the term of reference is for people with disabilities, including younger people. So we know that there are people over 65 with significant disability who are going into the aged care system who won't have access to the NDIS. How is that system going to cope with them as well?
And what about general health? Because, I mean, we think of nursing homes and aged care residential centres as healthcare centres. Is that the case?
Unfortunately, no. We're seeing the numbers of Division 1 nurses diminish, unfortunately. We don't have mandated staffing levels in residential aged care. So, again, that's something I think the Commission's going to look at. But the delivery of health services is not there. We have GPs who are finding GPs removing themselves from going to nursing homes, as I think it's been in the media recently. That connection with the health system is paramount. How we bring aged care back into touch with the health system is really important. We find a lot of these young people are disconnected from the health system when they go into the nursing home. Reconnecting is very difficult.
Let's finish up with the end of Deb Huseman's story, or the next phase at least. She was able to move out of aged care after 15 months with some help from NDIS funding and the sale of her Melbourne property, and she now lives in a more suitable house in regional Victoria with her sister and granddaughter. Let's hear what her life is like now.
So my daily life now is very, very different. I cook for the family. I have carers that come in the morning to help me shower and a carer that comes in at night to help me go to bed. But other than that, I live independently. I've been tutoring students. I've got involved in gardening and all sorts of other things. And my life is so much richer and so much fuller than it was when I was in the nursing home.
Carolyn, I would like to ask you just to finish up with what you would like to see come out of the Royal Commission to make that kind of outcome more achievable for more people.
Yes, Hilary, we really want to see some clear and strong actions and recommendations from the Royal Commission that focus on what can be done at that point in someone's journey where they're facing aged care admission. And it's complex because it needs to look at how the health system and the disability system, aged care and housing can all come together to work together in a timely way to meet people's needs.
And Bronwyn, your point of view as well?
I think Carolyn said it really well. We need to look at how we can also support aged care nursing homes to better support the young people they have while we get those other options available for them.
It's a big job. Let's see how they go. Thank you both so much. Bronwyn Morecambe is National Director of the Young People in Nursing Homes National Alliance, and Carolyn Finnis is Chief of Staff at the Summer Foundation. And we also heard from Deb Huseman, who used to live in an aged care facility in her 50s and is now living in her own home in Daylesford in regional Victoria.